Good morning. Today's daf is daf samach in Zvachim. We're a little bit behind. Nun tes amud aleph is where we left ourselves off yesterday. We're towards the bottom of the page, and we're starting right around the bottom. Okay. Okay, good. All right. We talked about the Pekimas on Mizbeach. We started a couple days ago the sixth perek of Zvachim. Parakachim Kachim. We talked about locations for Shechting Karbanos. The Mishnah taught us that the top of the Mizbeach, although it's not the best place where you want to Shecht your Karban, but it's acceptable, totally acceptable, to Shecht on the top of the Mizbeach. In fact, the top of the Mizbeach is even acceptable for Kachim Kachim, which is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Okay, where exactly was the Mizbeach? So we spent a lot of time discussing. That's a variable. It's subject to a debate where exactly the Mizbeach was. Was it in the north, in the south, or directly in the middle? So as we've seen already, there are a number of Shitas. Yesterday, we learned the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. He says that it was totally in the south. Interesting. He bases it on the fact that the north, part of the very definition of the north is that it has to be empty. The word safona comes from the word pana. Pana means panui. It has to be free and clear. And so Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that the north section of the Azara had to be an area which is free and clear. The picture behind me over here, right, although it is confusing because it has a mizbech somewhere between the middle and the south, but the idea that the north has to be free and clear of anything, that's the idea of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Yossi, as we learned for the past couple of days, disagrees. He believes that the mizbech was entirely in the north. And again, it's subject to a debate where exactly it was. The Gemara digressed yesterday to a discussion about what if there's a pegima in the mizbeach, if there's a nick in the mizbeach. I mentioned yesterday the halacha that the mizbeach has to be so smooth that your fingernail has to run up the mizbeach and not get caught, right? Which is really incredible for a stone structure, but that's the halacha. If there's a pegima, so now the mizbeach becomes inoperable, and all the karbanos that you have become disqualified. There is a debate that we saw yesterday between Rav and Rav Yochanan, right? What about live animals? What about karbanos which haven't been shecht yet? Or do they also become disqualified? So that's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says balei chayim nidachim, that live animals are disqualified; they're pushed off. And Rav disagrees. And okay, so that's a machlokes as well. Okay, we're almost up to not a new topic, but I think we have to do just one more line of Gemara, and then we're really going to start a new topic. So, Rav Gidol Hamar. Okay, yeah. This is just a wrap up of yesterday. We're six lines from the bottom of the page. Anun Tes Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, "Hamar Rav Gidol Hamarav Mizbech Shenekar Maktirin Kitoris Bim Kamo." So the Gemara says, "Well, we have another statement by Rav that says that the Mizbech Shenekar, right? The inner Mizbech. This is talking about the Mizbech Apnimi, the Mizbech Kitoris. If I don't know, you lose it. Hard to imagine you lost it. Thank you." Hard to imagine you lost it. But in other words, the Mishnah here is, the statement over here is, it's not there for whatever reason. So what do you do with the Ketores? So Maktirn Ketores Bim Komo. So you burn the Ketores right in the place where the Mizbeach should be. That's where you burn it. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So the Gemara is a little bit confused right now. Because when it comes to our Mizbeach HaChitzon that has a little pegima in it, so Rav says everything's disqualified. You can't do anything. And meanwhile, the Mizbeach HaPanimi, you lose it, and you could burn Ketores right in its place. So the Gemara says, Kedama Rava, Modah Haya Rabbi Yehuda B'damim, Hachanami, Modah Rabbi Yehuda B'damim. And essentially, the Gemara's answer is, what are you doing? You're comparing the inner Mizbeach to the outer Mizbeach? And no such comparison can be made. On the outer Mizbeach, I need it. I need it for the sprinkling of blood. Even when I don't need the Mizbeach itself, I still need the Mizbeach for the sprinkling of the blood. Perhaps you didn't understand my sentence, because my sentence is really said in the context of the next bit of Gemara that we're going to do. But just, I'll say it again. Even when I don't need the Mizbeach, I still need the Mizbeach for the blood. Okay? So, and as we get through the Gemara today, you'll understand my sentence, hopefully, right, if I do a decent job. But when it comes to the inner Mizbeach is not as important. So if I don't have the inner Mizbeach, so I'll just take the Ketores and I'll burn it right on the floor of the Mizbeach, period. Okay? And that takes us through that. And there is no debate, there's no stira between Rav and Rav. Okay, my Rav Yehuda. All right, here we go. Beginning of a very large sugya. It'll take us through the rest of today. we're going to have, it's interesting, it's going to be a little bit historical. We're going to have a discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi on a number of points and a number of discussions. Shlomo HaMelech, he dedicated the first temple. Well, he built the first temple, right? That we're all familiar with. And then he dedicated the first temple. And in that dedication of the first temple, so he burnt a number of karbanos. Now you have to understand that we're really transitioning over here. We're in the eighth parak of Malachim Aleph. We're really transitioning over here, meaning up until this point historically, so what was being used? So they had that Shiloh, they had a couple of years in Nov and in Givon. So, and now we're transferring and we're using now a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. In addition to that, up until this point in time, the Mizbeach, which Mizbeach was used? Moshe's. Right, Moshe's Mizbeach. And then from that point forward now, we're going to transition to a new Mizbeach, which basically means that Moshe's Mizbeach is going to be obsolete. Okay, we don't like to say it, right? In fact, the Gemara later on will tell us that. We don't like to say it, but it's a reality. It's a reality of transitioning from the temporary Mizbeach to the permanent Mizbeach. So it's a long perek, the eighth perek of Malachim Aleph. 66 psukim. Okay, so we're not going to go through it.
Change the material also.
Huh? Change the material, right? Moshe's was copper, and this was actually earth. Good, beautiful. Okay, so we're not going to go through the perek.
This was earth on the inside.
Huh? No, it was. They poured. Remember, they poured cement for all levels, for all blocks.
Moshe's was filled with dirt.
I'm sorry. You're right.
And this one was all cement.
And this was all poured cement.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. So we are, listen to Pasuk Samach Dal. I'm giving background information just so we can get comfortable with the Gemara coming up. So Bayamahu Kidesh Amalchez Tocha Chatzir Sholifne Beis Hashem, Ki Asa Hashem Esa Olaves Emincha Veschalvei Ashlamim, Ki Mizbach HaNechosh Asa Sholifne Hashem, Katon Mehachil. Right, Shlomo HaMelech now was Mekadesh, he sanctified the entire courtyard because Moshe's Mizbeach was Katon Mehachil. It was too small. Right? We got bigger, right? Everything's bigger. Our Beis HaMikdash is big. We just got bigger. And Moshe's, and too many karbanos, and Moshe's Mizbeach was too small. Es ha'olav, es ha'minchav, es chavei ha'shlamim. Vayar Shlomo Beis Ahi. And we know the inauguration of Shlomo HaMelech lasted for 14 days. Do we know that it took place on Sukkot? That was the second 7 days. The first 7 days obviously ran through Yom Kippur.
Right.
Okay.
There was
not
a problem for, with them
off
fast.
Okay. Not for now, but just, you know, something to realize. Okay? And the end of the eighth parak of Malachim Aleph, on the eighth day, which happens to be Shmini Atzeres, right? So Shlomo gives a bracha, and he sends everyone home, and this is the Haftorah that we read on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, good. All right. Good. There are so many interesting aspects, but we're going to be focusing on one aspect, and that is the Mizbeach. We're learning Zvachim right now, we're in the sixth Perek. So we're going to be talking about the actual Mizbeach and the transitioning from the Mizbeach of Moshe to the Mizbeach of Shlomo. Okay. Now, just another thing just to keep in mind as we go through this, is that what was the actual dimensions of Moshe's Mizbeach? Machlokas. Subject to a debate. I'll go through it. I'll go through the numbers today. I got a pen in hand. It's going to be a lot of computations, okay? That excites a lot of people. And then for the rest of us, what does it do? Okay. It won't be so bad. I'll get us through it. Okay. Man Rav Yehuda. So we start now on the four lines from the bottom of the page. So the Gemara quotes from Malachim Aleph, Perek Ches, Bayamahu Kidesh HaMelech, Tocha Chatzir, Ki Mizbeach, right, Tanechoshes, I'm not sure. I had the pasuk right here. I still have the pasuk. All right, the Gemara's girsa is a little bit different than our pasuk. You know, you go with Tanakh over the Gemara's quotation of the psukim. So Vayashlom was based on his. No, the pasuk beforehand. Vayamahu kidesh amach es toch chaser asher lifnei beis Hashem He asked Hashem, okay, fine. So the Gemara just paraphrases when it quotes the pasuk. Katon me'achil. Okay, dvam kichsavam divrei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, literally. When you read that pasuk, you read it literally. Now, what is the pasuk saying? It's saying that what Shlomo did is he took the floor of the Azara, you don't take it, but you know what I mean, and he consecrated it. He mizmekadesh it.
Didn't we learn before that actually David had medically that so that the entire floor they had to be touched the ground?
Right. So what Rav Yehuda is now arguing is that he did more than that. Meaning he sanctified it so that we could take all the karbanos and burn it on the floor. Okay. Meaning normally the karbanos are burnt on the mizbeach, so there just wasn't room. So now what Shlomo HaMelech did is he burned the karbanos on the floor. Dib Rav Yehuda. So Amalei Rav Yossi, Valo Kvar Namar. So Rav Yossi says, no need. No need to sanctify the floor and burn karbanos on the floor. There was no need. How do I know that? Valo Kvar Namar, because it says, Elef Olos Yala Shlomo Al Mizbeach Ahu. Earlier, in the third parak of Malachim, we know that Shlomo actually used Moshe's Mizbeach, and on it he burned 1,000. Okay. Now. This picture is too modern. this is Second Temple. We're backing up to the First Temple, backing up to the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rav Yossi, right? Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. According to Rav Yossi, top view, right? This is Rav Yossi. Top view of Moshe's Mizbeach, 5 by 5. Mm-hmm. That's it. 5 amas by 5 amas. Think about it. In the okay. Mizbeach over there was 32 by 32 amas. Okay. 5 amas by 5 amas. Remember,
you had
this is top view.
Okay.
What? Yeah, an ama kronos. Mm-hmm. Kohanim needed a place to walk. Your ma'aracha, the place for the actual burning on the top of Moshe, was 1 by 1.
Moshe wasn't that high.
I mean, not height.
They didn't have a place to walk. They didn't need to walk around it.
I'm telling you, they had a place.
On the Mizbeah.
They carry? Just, I'm going with what the Gemara tells me. Uh-huh. This is what the Gemara tells me. Okay? Fine. So.
Did it burn 1,000 on that?
Okay, and. So you had a ma'aracha of 1 by 1, and now we learned that Shlomo and Perigimel burned 1,000 karbanos in one day. So according to Rav Yossi, the rate of consumption, and by the way, Rashi points out, take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi points out that the fuel was an Ish Min HaShamayim, with the fire coming down from heaven. So, okay, so there was a divine acceleration of the burning, but still, we have a rate, okay? So our rate is going to be 1,000 karbanos per day. Okay, that's the rate.
Days, what, how many?
$1,000 per, 1,000 per day, per square amma.
Right.
Now, that's important. I know, but that is a rate. Okay, that's important. Okay, so according to Rav Yossi, this is the top of Moshe's Mizbeach. Shlomo used it, and Shlomo was successful in burning 1,000 animals per day per square amma. Okay.
This means a maximum, though.
We're going to... you're right, Phil, you're right. We're going to assume that's the rate. Could that, yeah. Okay, good. Sorry.
Good.
All over the place here. Okay.
One a minute.
Yeah,
one per minute.
You've got to reduce a little bit of time.
It's gonna fall. I knew it. Okay, let's go on. Let's see this. Okay. So now. Okay, thank you, Phil. Okay, let's go. Let's go on. By Yomahu Kidesh Hamelach, Rabbi Yosi, Amalei Rabbi Yosi, Valok for Namar, Elef Olos were on the top of Nuntes Amad Beis. Elef Olos Yalo Shlama al Mizbeach Ahu. V'ilu b'veis olamim hu omer v'yizbach Shlama v'zevach Shlamim asher zevach l'Hashem bakar esrim u'shnayim elef. 22,000. Now that sounds like a lot. It was more than that. 22,000 is just a top off. Before that, there was another 120,000 animals that were burned by Shlomo on the day of inauguration of the first temple, totaling 142,000 animals
in one day.
And the day of inauguration.
That means the
Ukisha, right? And this, by the way, helps you with your Pesach, your Karban Pesach dilemma. Okay, now, the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech was...
That has to be 42.
A Maracha of 20 by 20. Okay?
Right.
20 by 20 was the actual Maracha. It was the area for burning. Rashi brings it down. That seems to be the correct number. Okay, so now you had 400 square amas. Right. 400 square amas of burning space.
Oh.
Here you had one square ama, not drawn to scale. You understand?
Right.
Okay, I'm good. Not that good. Okay, one square ama, 400 square amas. And on one square ama, we could burn 1,000. So on 400 square amas, you could burn 400,000.
But that doesn't make sense.
So even though... Wait, settle. So,
you have to be able to access every inch of that. But the thing is,
okay,
if you got a fire burning in the middle and you got a fire burning in the front...
Okay, I'm just going through what the Gemara's assumptions are. The simple math of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay... So now it comes out that according to Rav Yossi, if you're able to do 1,000 on Moshe, you in theory now could do 400,000 on Shlomo. So when the Gemara says, so now, not the Gemara, sorry, when the Pasuk in Malachim says, Periches, Moshe's was too small, so, right, I'm sorry, Shlomo had to be Mekadosh the floor because his Mizbeach was too small. He had plenty of space. Plenty of real estate on the top of his Mizbeach in order to burn all the karbanos. Meaning we were shocked for a moment when we heard the number 142,000. Truth of the matter is, Mizbeach can handle that. Mizbeach can handle up to 400,000. So the Gemara says, so Rav Yossi, when he reads that pasuk in Malachim, it was too small. It really wasn't. So v'alok far ne'amar elef olos yalo shlama al mizbecha, who I'm rereading. V'il b'beis olamim u'amar v'izbach shlama zevach shlamim asher zevach l'ashem bakar esrim shnaim elef kshata magil l'cheshbon olos l'minyan amos ze gadol mizeh. And the Gemara says, when you do the math, which we just did, when you do the math, you're going to find out ze gadol mizeh. That truth be told, is that it's fine. You could do it. Ela mahu katon mehachil. So what does it mean, katon mehachil? So the Gemara says, ka'adam ha'omer l'chavero, ploni nanasu. Because, let's say, the guy comes in, right? The Gemara gives an example of a guy coming in to do the avoda, and he's too short. Right? Apparently a midget is puzzled from doing the avoda. Okay? Again, it's we talk about this all the time. You can't be a bal mom, you have to be... So if you're a midget, you can't do the avoda. So you don't want to say, when he comes in... It's funny, right? I guess those people who deal with hiring and firing and admissions, right? So when you reject somebody, right, you don't want to say you're disqualified, right? You really don't want to say anything. But in other words, considering your choices, to say you're puzzle, that's doesn't sound so good. So just simply point to a particular right. Right, say it nicer. So the Gemara says, so ploni nanasu. So you say, you're small. Right? Too short. Too short is better than saying you're disqualified. Okay? He'll understand. Right, Rashi points out when the Gemara says the next words, upasala avoda, that's not what you're saying to him. Meaning that's the reality. The reality is you're disqualified. But what you're saying to him is, yeah, you're too short. Okay. So that's what basically when we go back to the Psukim in Malachim, according to Rav Yossi, that's basically what we're saying. We're saying is, you know, it's Moshe's is too small. But we don't want to say that it's no longer operable. Rabbi Yehuda, fine. So that is, that's the story. So that now takes us from Rabbi Yossi's perspective. Rabbi Yehuda, Shapikam Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Latam, Edamim Mizbech Shasa Moshe, Gadolhu. So the Gemara says, no, from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, actually the numbers work. Meaning, the math works according to Rav Yehuda. D'tanya chamesh amos arach v'chamesh amos rochav d'varim kichzavam d'iv Rav Yossi. Because when the Torah describes, coming up in a couple of weeks, when the Torah describes the actual length and width of the Mizbeach of Moshe, so the Torah describes it as being 5 by 5 amas. So Rav Yossi says, exactly, meaning, look up at the board, exactly. 5 by 5 amas. That is the length and width of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Nema Kan Ravua, Venema Lahalan Ravua, Ma Lahala Mem Siosa Hayamode, Dafkami Apsa Ser Hayamode. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, now we're going to go to a different picture. Same Mizbeach, different Tana. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not 5 by 5, it's 10 by 10. When it says 5, it means 5 from here, 5 from here. That's what 5 by 5 means. How do I know that? Because the Torah uses the word ravua. Now ravua just simply means square. But what Rabbi Yehuda does is he takes the word ravua, connects it to another place in Tanakh where it says ravua, specifically by the Mizbech built by Yechezkel, and when his said ravua, we know that it meant measuring from the middle. Here too, ravua means measuring from the middle. So really, right, it's 5 by 5, 5 by 5, right? It's 4 5 by 5s.
Each one is a
quarter, correct.
Each quadrant.
Each, right, quadrants, right, very well said.
Doesn't mean square.
Right, Ravua means quadrant. Good, perfect. Good, and this is now the Mizbeach of Rav Yehuda. Now, let's just plug in the numbers. It's going to be the same discussion, just now that we know that our Mizbeach is larger, it's going to be different numbers. Right. So, Kronos, walkway. Okay, let's see how good I'm doing right now. How big is that area?
6 by 6.
I'm doing pretty good. 36 square amas of real estate of Malracha.
For 1,000.
Now, good, right? Good, excellent. So now it's, we know that Shlomo on this was able to do 1,000 a day, okay, divided by 36 square amas. So I did this on my own free time. So. Of course. Huh?
Little end of 30.
Yeah, right, I wrote the number in.
27.7.
Okay. And the 7 just keeps going. Okay, fine. And if you don't like math, it's fine. Okay, so 1,000 a day, 36 square amas, so 27.7. His rate, according to Rav Yossi, it's interesting. Smaller Mizbeach yielded a much larger rate, obviously, because he was able to burn 1,000 on 1 square amma. Right. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it was 1,000 on 36 square ammas. So, the rate is obviously much smaller, 27. Now, again, your point is still well taken, meaning we don't have to be talking about maximums, but we're assuming that. So, that rate is 27.7. So, now take that and move it now to Shlomo's Mizbeach, which was on the top 20 by 20. So that's 400. 400 times 27. It's going to be, we're going to just, it's approximately 11,000. Approximately. Actually, I did it last night also. 11,111 with a decimal point. But we're talking about animals over here. Okay, 11,000 is fine. But you understand now? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, truth of the matter is that Shlomo's Mizbech wasn't big enough. Right, and that's exactly what the pasuk in Malachim says, and that's why he got to the floor and he says, "I need more room. Right. I got 142,000 animals that I'm offering today, and the only thing I could maximum I could fit on the top of the mizbech is 11,000. Now I understand the pasuk in Malachim. Mm-hmm. He was mekadesh the floor. Mm-hmm. Okay,
in one day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So some serious blood on
okay.
The floor.
So fine. So good. Let's see this inside the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda. So Sorry. Rav Yehuda Latame. Again, I'm sorry. I'm rereading just a little bit. Rav Yehuda Latame. Dame Mizbech Shasa Moshe Gadol Hayad. Detanya Chamesha Mos Aruch VeChamesha Mos Rochav. Dvarim Kich Savam. Div Rav Yosi. Rav Yehuda Amar Nema Kan Ravu VeNema Lahalam Ravua. Malahalam Miam Siyosa Yamod. Dav Kam Miam Siyosa Yamodin. VeHasa Minalam Dichsiv. Now, how did Rav Yehuda know that Ravua meant quadrant?
Right.
So we pointed to a pasuk in Yecheskel. VeHasa Minalam Dichsiv Ariel. In Yecheskel, it says the Ariel. Ariel is a reference to the Mizbeach. Rashi writes more accurately, it's the actual area where you burn on the top of the Mizbeach. So it is 12 by 12. Kishuamar al Arba Rivav, Malam Shabemsehu Modeid. Right? It says Al Arba'as Rivav. So there in Yecheskel, it kind of spells it out that it's quadrants. It's not square. It's actually quadrants. So Malamish Abamsa Humodeh. So Rav Yehuda says, good. That's what I do with the Pasuk Ravua. I compare it to what we say in Yecheskel. Yecheskel is not teaching me halacha. He's just helping me define. Right? We have this discussion all the time that Pesukim and Nach can't be Mechadesh halacha, but it can certainly help me define what the Pesukim and Chumash meant. And so according to Rav Yehuda, that's what's going on. So good. So, and then once you get all that, so then you get to the board over here, you do the numbers, and now you understand the Pasuk and Malachim. Perfect. Now, Rav Yossi, Kigamar, Gzereshava, Begovahu, Degamir. Rav Yossi also, Ravua to Rav Yossi is meaningful. He doesn't, right? And he does create some sort of link, but a different link. A link in terms of height. The Tanya we learned in the Braitha, Vishalosh Amos, Kamaso, Dvarim, Kichzav, and Divar, Rav Yehuda. Okay, another fascinating machlokus between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. What was the height of Moshe's Mizbeach? What we're looking at over here is from the width and length. Mm-hmm. What was the actual height? Interestingly enough, it's almost like it's such a terrible way to think about it, but you know, my mind is somewhat warped. Right? It's like Abbott and Costello. So according to Rav Yossi, it was small on the top, but it was very tall.
Mm-hmm.
Right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, wide on the top, very short. Okay, so v'shalosh amos kamaso dvarim kichsavam divrei Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, take the psukim literally. So if we're gonna too late to make this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, shorter, right?
Three.
Right. This is again top is going to be 10 by 10, and the height is only going to be 3 amos. We go to Rav Yossi.
Right.
Top is, as we learned, it's going to be 5 by 5. And the height, according to Rav Yossi, is going to be?
10.
Okay. The Psukim favor here Rabbi Yehuda. The Psukim do not favor Rav Yossi. The Pasuk says that the actual height of the Mizbeach was 3 amas. The height of Moshe. Again, this is all Moshe's Mizbeach. So Dvarim Kichzavam says Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi Amar Nema Kan Ravua VeNemar LaHalan Ravua. No, says Rav Yossi. And here's where Rav Yossi uses the word Ravua. Malahalan Gova Pishnaim Karko Avkan Pishnaim Karko. Over there, where's there? The Mizbeach HaKetores. Right. The ratio of height to width or length was 2 to 1. Here too, ratio has got to be twice as high as it is wide. Okay? So Rav Yossi says the Mizbeach HaChitzon of Moshe Rabbeinu was the same ratio of height to width as the inner one. That is, and how does he know that? The word Ravua creates a Gzereshava comparison. So Amalei Rav Yehuda. Okay? And that
would seem not it's a bad word to seem to be it's the same ratio.
Right.
And it's
how is that
2 to 1? It's 32 to 10.
No, the Mizbeach HaZahav. Mizbeach HaZahav. His comparison was to the from the outer Mizbeach to the inner Mizbeach, which was the ratio was 1 to 2. Actually 1 to 2. It was a small little
right.
So, meaning it's 2 high and 1 square, so it's 2 to 1. So the outer one is also going to be 2 to 1. it's we know it's 5 by 5, so it's 5 by 5, so the height must be 10. Okay. Okay, so now we're off, meaning from this point forward now, for the rest of today's daf, we're going to be going over how does this work? Meaning now we have a picture of the Mizbeach according to Rav Yossi, over there to my right, to your left, 10 amas high, 5 by 5. Here you have a picture of the Mizbeach according to Rav Yehuda, 3 amas high, 10 by 10, okay? Tall and thin versus short and wide. So Amarle Reb Yehuda, so now each one is going to talk about the benefit of their Mizbeach in the context of the Pesukim. So the Pasuk says, skip the parentheses. Right? The Esher, I'm sorry, the gears on the side. Erecha Chatzir Mea Ba'ama V'Koma Chamesh Amos. Those curtains that surround the Mishkan. How high were those curtains? The Pasuk says they were 5 amas high. So, Efshar, so, and this is Rabbi Yehuda talking to Rabbi Yossi. So you, Rabbi Yossi, you got a tall Mizbeach. It's 10 amas high. Cohen's on the top of that Mizbeach. He's high. And if the curtains are 5 amas, so the curtains provide no privacy. Now, again, you could have just simply argued, well, that maybe that's not the purpose of the curtains. But the Gemara is assuming in this discussion that is the purpose of the curtains. They're there to provide privacy. So Efshar Kohen Omid Agabe Mizbech Vavod to be out of a Chol Amrono So Mivachutz. So according to you, Rav Yossi, he's twice as high as the curtains. There's no privacy. Everyone's going to see what's going on over there. So Amalo Rav Yossi Valo Kvar Namar Ves Kalei Chatzir Ves Masach Shera Chatzir Shal Mishkan Vala Mizbech Ma Mishkan Yud Amos Av Mizbeach Yud Amos. Now we know the Karshi HaMishkan, the beams for the Mishkan were 5 amas. So it's got to be that the curtains are going to go as high as the beams. The Omer Kalaim Chamesh Esrei Ama Ala Katef Umata Malomer He Amos. So now Rav Yossi is making a simple argument. I disagree. The curtains were higher than 5 amas, minimum 10 amas, right? Minimum. There's another pasuk which indicates that there were 15 amas, although that's not really, or whatever, that's not talking about the height. But still, I just disagree. What about the pasuk? Pasuk seems to be misleading now. Sorry, let's say better. The pasuk is misleading. The pasuk says that the curtains were only 5 amas high. Hey amas misfas mizbeach v'lamala. Oh, very simple. 5 amas, you assume that 5 amas meant from the ground. No. 5 amas meant from the top of the mizbeach. Top of the mizbeach was 10 amas high. And another 5 more. So in order to provide that privacy that was needed for the mizbeach. In fact, just in other words, it's good because the truth of the matter is that when the Torah is recording the height of the curtains, it's recording the main function of the curtains, which was privacy. So really, the total height of the curtains may be 15 amas. But the part that we quote-unquote care about is the part that is actually providing the privacy.
Huh? And what was holding?
Right. If the crush were only 10 amas high.
What was holding?
I'm not sure.
Unless you put a
little
privacy for what?
For the Kohen. No one wants to see the Kohen doing the Avodah. I'm not sure why. In other words, it's part of doing the Avodah, I guess, is doing it privately. But Sneas, right?
Where? In my time? So
yeah, when he's in the Azara. When he's in the Azara. And he's offering the carbon, and he's now on the top of the Mizbeach.
The Beit HaMikdash, you mean?
Yeah.
There were curtains for people not to see.
In the Beit HaMikdash, that was structure. Here we're talking about just the Mishkan. We're just dealing with Moshe. There were curtains surrounding the entire Chatzar. Now, right, we're now going back to Rabbi Yehuda. We're still at Rabbi Yossi. Sorry. And according to you, Rabbi Yossi, fine. So you've dealt with the curtain privacy issue, right? The Torah says 5 amas. Rav Yossi's response is, no. 5 amas from the top of the Mizbeach. 15 amas. Okay, another issue. The Torah, when describing the height of the Mizbeach, says the Mizbeach was 3 amas high. Yeah, according to you, Rav Yossi, it's 10 amas high. Again, another misleading pasuk. How do you deal with that? So the Gemara's answer is, V'shalosh amas kamaso, misfas sovev v'lamala. So Rav Yossi's response is, again, similar answer. 3 amas is not from the bottom. 3 amas is from where the sovev is. There is a walkway around. and the walkway goes up from the fifth amma up. Five ammas up from there, another three ammas, plus another amma for the kranos. Good. Okay, that's all addressing Rav Yossi's Mizbeach. Now let's go to Rav Yehuda.
Where this is coming from, that there was a walkway. I mean, it's not in the Pasuk that there was a walkway.
There is a... I don't mean a walkway. You're right, by the way.
Ramp.
No, not the ramp. It's some sort of netting that was placed around. It's called a soviv because it totally surrounds. Walkway is not the right way to describe it. Rav Yehuda ki gamar gzereshava berachva hu degamer. And now, we go to Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, the gzereshava, that gzereshava is only for the length and width. Meaning that, yes, the Torah uses the word ravua, but it's not describing the ratio of height to weight and length. Width and length. It's only describing the width and the length. Ula Rav Yehuda, kem ischazi kohen. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, let's also go back to the privacy issue. His mizbeach is only three amas high. Still, you're going to have problems. Because according to Rav Yehuda, how high were those curtains? Five amas high. So the Kohen's on the top of the mizbeach. The mizbeach is three amas off the ground. Kohen's not a midget, as we just learned. Kohen is three amas in the air.
Right.
So now the Kohen's going to be standing head above the curtain. He's going to be, six amas.
Mm-hmm.
Curtain's only five amas. So Rav Yehuda, you were bothered by Rav Yossi, there's no privacy. We'll go back to Rav Yehuda. According to you, Rav Yehuda, there's no privacy. So the Gemara's answer, on behalf of Rav Yehuda, Nehid de Kohen Mizkazeh, avod de biyad olam Mizkazeh. Yeah. Not so bad. People got to see the head of the Kohen, but they didn't get to see his hands. Right? And the privacy, it's interesting. Interesting. Privacy was for the avoda, not for the Kohen, for the avoda. Again, Hedy, I don't fully understand the idea of privacy for the avoda, but still, avoda was there was sanctity to it, and it had to be private, so nobody saw the actual carbon.
Why was it changed in Beit HaMikdash? Because Beit HaMikdash...
It wasn't changed. What do you mean?
People could see it. In fact, he had Ma'amorot for people... We have Israel Ma'amorot.
But the general population didn't see it. You're right. Anyone who was in the Azara at the time, who had rights to go into the Azara, he was able to see it. But the general it was private from the general population. B'Yishlam L'Rav Yehuda Hayinu Dichtiv Kidesh. Okay, now we're going to finally go back and go all the way back. And this whole conversation started because we're trying to figure out the rate, right? How much could Shlomo burn on his Mizbeach? And we used Moshe's Mizbeach in order to create the rate. So the rate, according to Rav Yossi, was 1,000 per square amma. The rate, according to Rav Yehuda, was approximately 27 per square amma. And so now finally we come back full circle for this morning. And now we go to the actual Shlomo HaMelech dedication, where they burnt on that day 142,000 karbanos on that day as part of the dedication of the first temple. It's a big number. We all understand that. Shlomo was excited. It's the first day of operation of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Again, terrible analogy, but Lahavdil, go to any opening day. Right, even the Marlins. People are excited. Everyone comes for opening day, and then So again, terrible analogy, but right, 142,000. So now, Bishlam LeRav Yehuda HaNedichsev Kidesh. So now that we got all the information, we got all the background. So I get it. I understand why by Rav Yehuda it says the word Kidesh. Because according to Rav Yehuda, Shlomo couldn't do it. He couldn't burn all those karbanos on the top of the Mizbeach. So you know what he did for that day? He sanctified the floor of the Mizbeach, the floor of the Azara, and you're able to burn all the karbanos on the floor of the Azara. Ella, Rav Yossi, my Kidesh. So the Gemara says, but according to Rav Yossi, didn't need it. Because Rav Yossi had a much higher rate. Rav Yossi was able to burn 1,000 per square amma. So on a 400 square amma, Maracha, so you had plenty of room. So what does the pasuk mean when it says Kidesh? Bisham Rav Yossi Handidichsiv Dai Skip? No, what just happened? El Rav Yossi, my Kidesh, Laha Amid Ba Mizbeach. So the Gemara says the word Kiddush, according to Rav Yossi, just simply means prepares it. Meaning, here comes the Mizbeach. Now, I guess we get to your question, Ben. Meaning, it seems to be that David already took care of this. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what the Gemara is answering is, well, Lahamid ba Mizbeach, in order to place the Mizbeach, but based on the Gemara we learned earlier, David already laid the groundwork, literally laid the groundwork. Okay, so that requires some consideration. Bishlam ala Rav Yossi, hainu dichtiv katon. Now, according to Rav Yossi, the word katon, right, hainu dichtiv katon ala Rav Yehuda, my katon, hachi kamar, mizbech avanim shasa shlomo, tachas, mizbech hanechoshes, katon hava. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word katon means relatively speaking. The mizbech avanim, the stone mizbech that was made by Shlomo, tachas mizbech hanechoshes, in the place of the copper mizbech, katon hava, it was katon, it was small. Okay, relatively speaking. But not in function. So, b'mai pligi, now, again, the Gemara is just a little disjointed over here. The Gemara now is going to go back to that Ravua piece. Remember, that Ravua for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda took us to different places. According to Rabbi Yossi, Ravua was there to tell us that just like the inner Mizbech was 2:1 height to width, the outer Mizbech was ratio 2:1, or in real terms, 10:5 height to width. That's what Rav Yehuda did, that's what Rav Yossi did with Ravua. What did Rav Yehuda do with Ravua? Quadrants. Just like we find by Yechezkel. So, the Gemara is going to help us understand that a little bit better. Mar savar danin chutz mi chutz, vein danin chutz mi pnim. Mar savar danin kli mi kli, vein danin kli mi binyan. So, the Gemara says, what's that issue over here? It's better to learn out chutz mi chutz, meaning, this now goes to Rabbi Yehuda. I have a Ravua here by the Mizbech of Moshe. I'm going to compare it. I'd much rather compare it to the Mizbech of Yechezkel. Even though it's later on, even though it's Navi, even though it's, right, it's a diff, but still, it's a Mizbech that's used outside. The Mizbech of Zahav is ain't done in chutz mi pnim. That's learning something from the outside in the Azar to something which is inside in the Heichal. No. Umar savar dani kli mi kli, ve'ain dani kli mi binyan. And the other position is no. I'd rather learn kli mi kli rather than learning kli mi binyan. Interesting. What basically the Gemara is saying over here is, you know, the Mizbech built by Moshe, that was a kli. It was a vessel. The Mizbech built by Shlomo, that's binyan. That's building. Right? Again, the obvious difference, I mean, just a physical structure. It was poured cement, poured stone, cemented together. That's what Shlomo built. By Moshe, it was a kli. Now, we all understand it had to be kli. They were traveling in the desert. They needed to pick it up and walk on. Right? You can't have a permanent structure. Good. But that's exactly the point the Gemara is making, is that when I'm making a limud, I'd much rather make the limud of Moshe's Mizbeach to his inner Mizbeach, because they're both Kalim, and not to the Mizbeach of the Beit HaMikdash, because that was a fixed physical structure. Okay, fine. Now, Amar Rava. And now that we're all here, so we've learned, really, we learned a lot. The difference between Rav Yossi's Mizbeach, Rav Yehuda's Mizbeach, the rate of burning, Shlomo, was he able to fit everything on, was he not? Did he need to be Mekadesh the floor so that he could burn everything on the floor? Now with all that said, so now the Gemara is going to... Why are we here? Not an existential question. Just a simple question of how did we get to this point in time? Because now we're going to understand that line of Rava. Amar Rava mod de Rav Yehuda bedamim, that even though Rav Yehuda says that they had to be Mekadesh the floor, because there's no room on the top of the Mizbeach. And even though Karbanos on that first day of operation, Karbanos were burnt on the floor, blood had to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Now, right? Now we understand it. Right? Moda Rabbi Yehuda Bedamim. Rabbi Yehuda admits that by the blood, the carbon may be burnt on the floor, blood had to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And how do I know that?
Where else is it going to be sprinkled, though?
You just throw the blood on the floor. If the floor, if the floor was sanctified, this is a thought process. Rejected, but this is a thought process. If the floor was sanctified, just throw the blood on the floor. The floor was sanctified. So, Titania Rabbi Yehuda Amar Be'ikot Echad Ayim Amalim Midamata Rabbi Shavishachal Gabi Mizbeach Shemisha Fechdamo Shalachas Me'ed Nimses Emachshiro. Remember that Mishnah Pesachim? We learned this Mishnah not that long ago. That at the end of the day, what they did, all that blood from all the carbon Pesach, and what they did is they took a cupful of the blood and they spritzed it on the Mizbeach one last time. Because, look,
just in case,
thousands of those carbon Pesachs were shechted, maybe one of the bloods didn't make it into the Mizbeach, so just in case they would pick it up and spritz. And remember, right, Bittel, the Bittel's not an issue because this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds min bemino in a batel. Okay, good. Now here the Gemara says, look, if this is the same Rabbi Yehuda who said that Shlomo was makash the floor, so good. The blood hit the floor. That's may not be the best, but it's good. So the Gemara is making its argument, must be that when it comes to the spritzing of the blood, it's got to hit the Mizbeach, even though the floor is sanctified. The Gemara says, look, I'm happy it hit the floor, but maybe we can argue the floor is good, but you need a shficha. Right, it spilled on the floor. I need shficha. So the Gemara says, "Imkei nishkalei v'nishfechlei aduchte." The Gemara says, "Okay, that's true. So pick up the blood and throw it back on the floor again." Why is Rav Yehuda requiring us to pick up the blood and hit the mizbeach? The Dilma Mishum Debeina Mitzvah Menam Ofchar. The Gemara says, "Okay, look, the argument is not compelling. It could very well be that the floor is good enough, but when you are doing it." Do it the best way, which is to hit the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah Pesachim, although it's good, is not absolute conclusive proof that you got to hit the Mizbeach. But anyway, but now we understand it. When Rava says, Moda Rav Yehuda B'damim, it means, in the context of what we just learned over here, and Shlomo was basically burning Karbonos on the Azara, because the Azara was Mekudash, still blood had to go on the Mizbeach. Adkan. Stop over here. Reminder, tomorrow evening, sorry, those listening at home.